Welcome to the Mystery Twins Detective Agency. I am Liam S. Smith, and I'm picking private eyes, because on the morning line, the guy's got him figured at 5 to 9.
I'm Regan Lloyd, and that's the way it's gonna be, little darling. We'll be riding on the horses, yeah.
We did two different things.
I'm so glad. I can't believe I didn't think of Fugue for Tin Horns, though.
We thought we wouldn't, but we did.
Okay, that was good. It's always dicey when we both say, I've got the best intro ready.
Best / worst.
Also, to be fair, that never happens because normally we start recording and then I'm like, oh shit, I forgot we do intros on this show.
This is the Mystery Twins Magical Marathon Weekend, where we record episodes until Regan pukes or Liam dies.
Yeah. This isn't our catch-up weekend. I thought it was. That was last weekend.
No. This is our get-ahead weekend.
Yes, because by the time that you are listening to this...
I'll be dead.
Yeah, I started saying it, then I was like, oh man, I should have made this a Dear Sister joke. I will...
Don't know what that is.
You know that SNL sketch?
Nope.
You
oh, wait,
do.
The thing with that where they all shoot each other?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know it as that. I know it as the what you say sketch.
Oh, okay, yes, fair. Yeah, this time next week, I will be partying it up at the Hebden Bridge Burlesque Festival, so.
Oh, yeah, you gotta go to Hebden Bridge.
Yeah, listen, it sounds like the raddest little town, so I'm really excited.
They've got one pub. No, that's not true. That's England. Can't be true.
Oh, man.
Like, have you seen that map of England with a pin put down for every pub?
Oh, fuck,
because
no.
Because it's mostly pins.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's more pins and land, surely.
So, Regan.
Yeah.
How's your head?
Yeah, good, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not hungover.
No?
No, I went out last night and we ended up playing darts and pool for ages.
Cool.
Which was great, but I'm very bad at both things.
Did
so.
You win at darts? Okay, no.
Oh, my God.
How do you play darts?
Well, you put 501 in the score thing.
501 quid.
And then you... It's kind of you to think that I have 501 quid.
That's like 10,000 Australian dollars.
Yeah, that exchange rate's a killer.
Speaking of killers...
Yeah.
This is the Mystery Twins Detective Agency, where we watch mystery-based television show and then discuss it.
Yeah, listen, I feel like that whole bit about my evening is not good, so we should just... not have that in there.
I guess we'll find out when the episode's out.
No!
I'm just going to keep referring back to your magical game of darts, so you have to leave it in.
How are you going, Liam?
I'm good. It's the weekend. I'm having fun. I went shopping for an alarm clock today. That's exciting,
did
right?
Did you find one?
No. Turns out people don't sell battery-powered non-radio alarm clocks anymore because everyone has a mobile phone that does it.
And yet, my mobile phone betrayed me when we were meant to be recording yesterday, so...
Ipso fatso.
So, fuck you, big alarm clock. No.
The big alarm clock in the sky.
The sun.
I was talking about God, I guess?
Oh, I thought, like, the sun is an
something
alarm
about
clock.
When your alarm goes off and you die, and then...
Christ, that's morbid. All right.
You hit snooze for another 15 minutes in heaven? What?
The
listen, it's later than 15
minutes you'll snooze in heaven.
Who are the 10 people you're going to get into a bed with in heaven?
Well,
remember, you have to make room for the little one who will tell everyone to roll over.
Well, now it's getting creepy.
You know the song?
Yeah, I do, but...
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy there.
No, that's a song.
That's a folk tale.
That's a cautionary warning.
That's a creation myth.
Yeah, so sorry I'm making you record so late.
It's not that late. It's just 8, and we normally record about 5, so I've just had, you know, a beer.
Oh, well.
I'm so loose and zany now. Oh.
Watch out. You could say anything.
Yeah. Butch did 9/11.
I wasn't expecting that. All right. That was, yeah. Also, sorry if you hear random rustlings. It's DIY day in my house.
I'm recording in a forest.
So I've managed to avoid recording while people are drilling into the walls, but there's still a lot of
nonsense.
Doing it yourselves going on.
Well, sisters are doing it for themselves.
Yeah, putting up shelves.
Putting on the Ritz.
That's what that song's about. Yeah.
Regan?
Yeah.
What did we watch today?
Well, we didn't watch Riverdale because there's not one.
No, they are having a week off.
So calm down.
Because of...
Easter?
Sport, I assume. Possibly just weird scheduling.
No, I think a lot of things were off this week. Maybe it's like a mid-season break.
Yeah, maybe it's sweeps.
What is sweeps?
I don't know, but it's something people talk about in US television industries.
All right.
Friends of the show, Nicola and Leah, would probably know what it is.
Yeah, I would trust them.
Regan, what did we watch today?
Well, we watched Private Eyes.
Episode 3.
Episode
the one
3.
That doesn't actually have a murder in it.
Oh, yeah.
Something that happens occasionally in this show, but mostly as a twist and not just part of the setup.
Yeah, that hadn't flagged as weird because I guess we just talk about watching crime shows, not murder mysteries.
But they're typically murder
mysteries.
But they
are, yeah, they are typically murder mysteries. It's just somehow that's never occurred to me. Also, sidebar. So last night, my friend was like, you know the chicken crossing the road joke?
Is that about death?
That's a suicide joke.
What?
And I was like, oh my God.
No, it isn't.
Isn't it?
Why would it be?
To get to the other side?
Yeah, that doesn't imply suicide, though. That just implies death.
But it's why the chicken crossed the road.
Also, I don't really think that's necessarily meant to be the intended reading of the joke, but it is an alternate one.
Yeah, I was like, that's dark. Anyway, that was my whole sidebar. So, murder.
There have been a lot of think pieces lately about how the chicken crossing the road joke glorifies suicide in its depiction of it.
Really?
No, I'm just doing a 13 Reasons Why joke.
Oh, okay.
They're not all good jokes, Regan.
Yeah.
Not as good as why did the chicken cross the road, at any rate.
I mean, it's a classic. You can't beat it, even if you can't also understand it.
And you can't join it either, because then you'd be dead.
That's true. And you can't...
Knock, knock.
Yes? Hello?
Hello?
That's...
Can you hear me?
Is that not how knock knock jokes go?
That is not how knock knock jokes go.
Who's there? That's what it is. Sorry. I don't know why I just forgot the construct of jokes. Let's take that again.
Knock knock.
Oh no, I don't want to speak to anyone. Everyone be very still until they go away.
Excuse me, this is the Mormons. I have a book for you.
Everyone pretend like you're asleep.
This is the Mormons from the Book of Mormon on Broadway.
Oh, well, in that case, hello. You already told me.
Just tricking you. We're regular, boring Mormons. Here's our weird underwear. I'm sorry if we have any Mormon listeners. That's mean.
That is mean. To be fair, I don't really know anything about the Mormon religion that's not from Book of Mormon.
Did you know that there's a significant subplot that takes up about half of the first Sherlock Holmes book that is all just about some Mormons off in the US?
Really?
Yep. What? It eventually loops back around, but it takes a long time before it becomes even remotely relevant.
That's very weird.
And it's a very long subplot.
Was it like a subplot like the footnotes in Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell?
No, it was just, this chapter begins, get ready for a few chapters about a Mormon community and the way they treat people who don't conform to their usual standards of living.
All right, that's a weird choice, Conan Doyle. Is Conan
barbarian?
Part of his middle...
I don't know.
I always assumed it was like a double-barreled surname, but then Houdini and Conan Doyle wouldn't roll
what
off.
What if it's a nickname? Well. Arthur Conan Doyle.
Maybe.
Because he was so buff. And everyone was big fans of Conan the Barbarian back then.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Also, he worshipped Crom.
Yeah.
This episode of Private Eyes...
Is not about a murder.
It's about a horse theft.
Which Matt Shade mistakenly believes, when he hears the words diamond heist, that
the name of the horse.
They are solving a diamond heist, but as Liam has just rudely interrupted, that is the name of the horse.
I feel like the show really didn't put its best foot forward in giving us the option of they investigate a diamond heist and then snatching that away from us oh so cruelly.
Yeah.
Though I guess the characters have the same reaction.
Yeah, that's true. So
let me just open the Word document that I made yesterday and forgot about till just now with our persons of interest for this episode.
Oh yeah, that's a thing we do.
Jason Priestley plays Matt Shade, a retired hockey player who wants to become a private investigator, and in this episode makes great strides towards doing so.
He wants to become a what?
Private investigator.
Are you saying that he wants to be a private eye?
That's right, I am.
Good. I don't know why you wouldn't take the opportunity to do that literally any time that you could.
Because I didn't sing much.
Oh, no, sorry. I sing and you do accents. That's our whole shtick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Wellity, wellity, wellity.
You sang your intro today.
Did I? I don't know what you're talking about.
No. Are you gaslighting me?
I'm steampunking you. Which is in the steampunk universe, it's the TV show Ashton Kutcher has.
That's a funny joke. How can we get this joke out to the masses?
It's impossible. It can't be done.
I got you. All right.
Jason Priestley has also played Wayne Wayney in Raising Expectations and Brandon Walsh in Beverly Hills 90210.
Yes.
He is joined in the co-protagonist role, the deuteragonist role, by Cindy Sampson, aka Angie Everett, professional private investigator who, in this episode, it's not that she doesn't have the necessary experience to do the non-private investigating aspects of the case, it's just that she hates it all.
Sorry, I was not listening to you because I was trying to think of a way that I could make the song Old Deuteronomy from Cats about the deuteragonist.
I said that previously Angie hasn't known stuff about hockey or restaurants, but this time she knows things about horses, but she just hates the whole racing scene.
Yes, because who's our next person of interest that has made her hate the racing scene?
I didn't write her down, but it's her mum, Nora.
Due diligence, Leah. No, I'm kidding. I
wanted to do people important to the case.
Okay, that's fair.
Her mum, Nora, they are not on speaking terms and haven't seen each other since her dad's funeral, where Nora also tried to get money out of her, allegedly. And she's a bet maker. She's in debt to a cowboy book manager and is kind of a rogue.
Yeah. So sorry for derailing your persons of interest. You go on as you intended.
Cindy has also played Carmen in The Shrine, a 2010 horror movie, and Sophie Hale in Rogue.
What's Rogue?
I don't know. It's probably not the character from X-Men.
No, I was thinking of the Star Wars movie, but that's Rogue One, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Rogue One.
So this must be the one that came before Star Wars Rogue movie. One.
Judah Katz plays Jim Cutler, the man who hires the private eyes in this episode. He's some sort of businessman. He owns horses. His horse has gone missing. What will he do?
Well, he's going to call a private eye.
Oh, that makes sense. Judah has also played Salesman in Crash and Pancho Rider in Queer as Folk.
In the movie Crash?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Crash. I haven't seen it.
For some reason, I had it on DVD.
Is it about a crash?
Yes. Is it?
I don't know.
It's one of those ones.
It'd be good if it... This is my pitch for Crash, the movie that has already been made. It's like, it's all about insurance. So you know how people give statements to the insurance company to get their claims?
Yeah.
But they're all giving conflicting statements. So what we do is we go through each of their days leading up to the crash, Rashomon style. So we see the same story from approaching it from different individuals' perspectives.
That is actually several times how the film works, though. It's not about insurance claims, but it is like, one of those like overlapping stories.
There's a great joke in Bored to Death where John Hodgman's character is bantering with Jason Schwartzman's character, and Jason Schwartzman says, but I thought that different people remembered things differently, like in Rashomon. And then John Hodgman says, that's not how I remember Rashomon.
That is a good joke.
I think the setup is different, but you know, the punchline is what matters.
Exactly.
Mary Ashton plays Bridget Cutler, Jim Cutler's wife, and some sort of debutante, I guess.
She's not 16.
What is that? What that means?
Yeah, it's like when you come out to society, you're a debutante, so you're like paraded around as being eligible for marriage now.
Oh, is that when you finishing school?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And you're ready for postgrad study.
Yeah.
Mary also played Claire Kendall in something called Dan for Mayor, which I'm assuming is a sitcom. Because it had multiple episodes and a name like Dan for Mayor.
But what happens when he becomes mayor? Cancel the show.
That's the beginning of a whole nother story, isn't it?
That's true.
Dan as mayor.
I suppose Jane the Virgin is still called Jane the Virgin, even though she is no longer Jane the Virgin. Spoilers.
She ripped off her mask and revealed it was old man McGillicuddy, the owner of the amusement park, the Virgin.
What?
Never mind.
All right.
Craig Warnock plays the horse trainer known simply as Keith. He's done a lot of voice work in things like Far Cry 2, Far Cry 4, and Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which is the Assassin's Creed game set in Victorian London. So everyone goes, hello, 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 what's all this then? Some assassins up in my business? Oh, I'm dead now.
Copyright, copyright, copyright. Liam's amazing TM voice
Assassin's work. Assassin's Creed, me.
Oh no, joining I was just copyrighting your voice work so people can't take it and put it in their video games.
Oh, okay, so now you own it.
Yeah, that's how copyright works. If you yell copyright, it's like shotgun.
Well, if someone draws some artwork on the pavement and you take a photo of it, you can own that in copyright.
Gosh, copyright law is confusing.
Another piece of horse-related stuff, piece, person, on the horse-related stuff, is Ashley Bryant as Carly King, Diamond Heist's jockey.
Yeah.
She has very few IMDb credits, like 4, I think, and the only one that caught my eye was she played Christy in Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer.
Yes!
Don't know what that is.
But I want to know what that is.
And finally, David Rial plays Ivan Zickel, app developer, rival horse owner, and brash young billionaire?
Surely. One of those Silicon Valley types.
Yeah. David also played Benjamin in Suits, and he was the voice of Kai in Beyblades, the aloof, brash, older Beyblade team member.
Ooh.
What do you know about Beyblades, Regan?
Do I know about them?
What do you know about them?
Beyblades, let them rip!
Yeah. Do you know what a Beyblade is?
I think so, because in the pantomime Prince Charming versus the World, in the battle between Dopey and Charming in the restaurant, I think there was a Beyblade in that.
And what was it?
It was like a sky dancer, but instead of going up, it goes down.
You mean like a spinning top?
Yeah.
That's basically what a Beyblade is. In the cartoon, they're full of monster spirits.
But in real life, they're not?
I mean, if you know how to bottle monster spirits, TM, TM, TM.
I can work on the technology, I'm sure.
And he also played uncredited Glenn Coco in Mean Girls.
What?
You go, David Real.
That's the best.
4 for you.
How is Glenn Coco not credited?
Because it's not a speaking role, I don't think.
But like, that's ludicrous to me.
That's mimetic.
That is mimetic.
Also, lots of people in this episode have had one or two episode appearances in various eras of Degrassi The Next Generation.
Of course, because of Canada.
Yes, of course. Do you ever watch much Degrassi The Next Generation?
I did.
What era?
When it started.
Like, roughly what year? Because I assume that's because they're still making it at least as recently as 2015. There's been another Next Generation, I would assume.
Yeah. No, it was when The Next Generation started. So it would have been like early 2000s?
Yeah. Roller coaster era.
Yeah.
I remember two things precisely from Degrassi The Next Generation.
Yes.
One, it featured an older version of that kid from My Best Friend Is an Alien, who was some sort of bully.
Mm-hmm.
And two, there was an episode where one character shamefully revealed that she had dyscalculia.
What's that?
That's like dyslexia, but for maths.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a thing.
I don't know if it's real, but she had it.
Surely you can't put it on television if it's not real.
Yeah. See, take that, My Best Friend's an Alien. Regan.
Yeah.
This episode opens with a good old-fashioned stakeout.
You know it does. So, as you will recall from the end of the last episode, what's her name?
Angie Everett.
Angie. I was going to say Allie, and I was like, that's not right. Angie
Allie
has
Mac.
Said that Mac can work with her if he passes his PI exam.
Which he now has to take. Which he now has to study for to take.
And if we know one thing about Matt Shade, he don't want to study.
Because he's functionally illiterate.
No, he's not. Stop spreading rumours.
Hey, he owned a failed restaurant. You've got to be able to read and do math for that.
Oh, that's true. I mean, have we ever seen him read?
We saw him avoiding reading a lot in this episode.
Well,
But then he also reads in the end to first cheat and then decide not to cheat and study.
Ugh.
That's his B-plot in this episode, guys.
Yeah.
Should we just blitz through that at the top of the show?
Yeah, and you know what makes him decide not to cheat?
His daughter, who has been practicing for a debate on speech and on a speech and debate thing on human cloning, was working hard at it all episode and then did very well in a practice debate against Dad Shade. and was like, I owe it all to you and the code you gave me in the first episode, Dad. Hashtag no yachts.
Hashtag hustle always wins.
Hashtag no second chances. What was it she said that basically hard work pays off. There are no shortcuts. That's what I'm going for. No shortcuts.
Do you think maybe eventually we'll learn the entire
code? No half measures.
No, only...
We must have seen it in the first episode.
Only the fullest of measures for my spirit. That was a joke. Don't worry. You know, it's like a half measure is like half a shot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't a good joke.
I was doing Mike from Breaking Bad.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Well, you should probably watch Better Call Saul, starring now on Netflix.
I really should. I can't believe I haven't.
Season 3, just begun.
I know. I'm so behind.
Fuck Chuck. Hashtag... Better Call Saul, hashtag Riverdale.
What? You literally did that tweet, didn't you?
I did.
I was like, I've definitely seen that somewhere before.
Oh, what have I become? I'm recycling jokes.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's the B plot. He learned the value of hard work and at the end gets a 54% on his private eye investigation.
And P's make degrees. And P's make
P's eyes. P's make P.I.s.
Yay.
He was reading The Private Investigator's Study Guide a lot, which is a book I would like to have a look at, frankly.
Absolutely.
At various points throughout the episode, Angie quizzes him on things like the four principal methods of surveillance and the three types of evidence, and he can't answer any of the questions because he hasn't been studying.
Do we find out what they are, or are we going to have to purchase the Private Investigator Study Guide ourselves?
Or Google it.
Yeah, but don't you want to have that as a coffee table book to start conversations?
I'd have to get a coffee table first, though.
You don't have a coffee table?
Not on my own.
Oh, that's fine. You can put it on someone else's coffee table. It still starts conversations, doesn't it? Especially
when
you
their book
walk into their house destiny. And just throw a book down on their coffee table.
Speaking of books on the counter, there was a scene I really liked where he was trying to convince his daughter that he's been hard at work studying, and she comes over and runs her fingers down the spine of the book, and she's like, I can tell this has never been opened.
Yeah, like, fair play to her.
And then at the end of the scene, he's leaving, and he's like, I'm going to go hit the books before we get back on the case. And there's a shot of her in the foreground and him leaving in the background, and you see him stop at the counter near the door, or the table near the door, slip the private eye book under another book that's already on the counter and try to walk out, and she just goes, I heard that. That was good bants.
That was good bants. I'm glad that the daughter is, like, an actual good character.
Yeah, because it would be very easy to just kind of be like, oh, I'm having such trouble connecting with my blind daughter.
Yeah.
Her life is so hard. But no, she's cool.
She is cool.
Angie met her this episode.
Yeah.
They got along well.
Her future mother,
Angie.
We'll
get to that in due course. Will that be the case?
Oh, that'll definitely be the case.
Unless the daughter is murdered?
Wow, that took a turn. That took a real turn. Oh boy, I hope that doesn't happen.
That seems not really in keeping with the general mood of the show.
Yeah, but you know, maybe they gotta like jump a shark to get the ratings up.
Maybe she has another job, or if she publicly disgraces herself. The actress, I mean.
Maybe.
And the show doesn't want to be associated with her anymore, and they're like, we need to write her out in the rudest, most unprofessional way.
Like on Lost.
What happened on Lost?
They killed off someone because they kept getting done for drink driving, I think.
Ah, oh, Charlie.
Wasn't Charlie.
No, he was too busy doing heroin on an island.
Exactly.
It wasn't Walt because he was getting too old.
That was just very funny that they were just like, oh shit, oh, we wrote a kid in to a thing that everyone's meant to be the same age. Oops.
Whatever happened to the dog? I don't care. Let's talk about the show.
I think at the very end, when Jack dies, the dog like lies down next to him.
That's right. Yes, I remember watching that with you.
Yeah.
Not with, but you know what I mean.
Kind of.
Okay, yeah. We've resolved the B plot. Let's talk about this here A plot.
Yeah, so Diamond Heist, but not.
Well, they're talking about the prince. They're talking about surveilling people and how when you're... They're surveilling a man who's cheating on his wife, and they're trying to get the money shot, as Angie calls it. You know, a kiss, a certain embrace. And she's like, "You can. That's the real money shot, the way they look at each other. But that's not admissible in court, unfortunately." And so then she goes and gets out of the car to get a better angle on their hotel room, but she's having trouble getting the shot. And then Matt Shade, still in the car, gets a call. And we cut to Angie's camera perspective as she's looking in the room, and he wanders into frame, snaps a quick pic on his iPhone, and is like, let's go, we got a diamond heist to solve.
And then the guy in question does put his pants on and come outside and try to chase him away.
Unsuccessfully.
I just honestly can't believe that she would say that a look is the real money shot. Like, if I had hired a private investigator to see if my partner was cheating on me, I would... If they were like, yeah, look at how they're looking at each other, I would be like, can you get proper fucked, please? I'm not paying you for that.
But what about all these photos?
Joke's on you, Liam. No one would ever cheat on me because I'm the best person in the world.
Oh, okay.
So, touche. Touche. I got you, egg on your face.
Yep. Hoisted by my own petard.
Anyway, so we're solving a diamond heist.
Yeah, or are we? No, we're not. We're solving a... The theft of a horse called Diamond Heist.
We're solving a Diamond Heist.
Indeed.
Horse names are dumb.
They are. What was the name of the other horse betting call center for many, many years, and horse names are dumb.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
The other horse in this episode was called Gold Coast.
Okay, because my guess was going to be that it was called Billionaire, which is sort of... They're both about being... They're both dumb names.
Billionaire sounds like the name of the evil horse in some sort of like kids horse racing movie.
Yeah, that's true. You know, true. But
the scrappy horse that could.
Is that not literally every horse movie?
Two Chunks Pebble.
That's a great name. We should buy a horse and name it Two Chunks Pebble.
Here's something fun. I was on the Air Bud Wikipedia page last night.
Oh boy, I'm buckling in.
Buckle yourself in for some Air Bud and related movie facts.
All right.
There have been 14 Air Bud movies, including the Air Buddies spin-off series, which is equal to the amount of Land Before Time movies.
I did not know that about either of them.
And the Wikipedia page also links to the MVP trilogy, which you may know was started with the film MVP Most Valuable Primate, about a ape playing... I want to say baseball, possibly hockey.
I did not know about these films.
It was followed up by two sequels. MVP 2, Most Vertical Primate, in which the primate gets into another sport. Skateboarding.
Oh my god. What was the next one?
Well, my friend, that's MXP, Most Extreme Primate.
Oh my god, I wish you could see my face right now. It's just unbridled joy. Ugh. It makes me so happy.
But you know what's funny? I just realised that, in fact, all of these links on the MVP page for the sequels just link back to the same page.
Oh my god, are they... Don't tell me it's a lie. Don't snatch this
away. Oh no, they're definitely real, but I don't... Vertical may not be about skateboarding, and Extreme may be about skateboarding, because I can't tell.
Well, that's a mystery to solve another day.
Mystery of the week, primates. Which brings me to my thoughts on Kangaroo Jack.
Who is a boxer.
What? No.
No?
Kangaroo Jack is the movie where it was going to be a really bad sort of mafia comedy set in Australia. It was like called Down and Under or something. And they were like, this is bad. Let's make it more focused on this kangaroo that ends up wearing a jacket that has $50,000 in its pockets. And then add in a scene where the main characters... get hit on the head or whatever and hallucinate the kangaroo in the jacket wearing sunglasses and rapping, and then use that scene entirely to market the movie because kids will watch anything with talking animals in it.
So it's not actually about the kangaroo.
It's not actually a talking animal movie.
Oh.
It's about a couple of those guys, like the guy from The Rundown, aka Welcome to the Jungle, and someone else chasing a kangaroo through the outback to get money while they're trying to stay one step ahead of Christopher Walken and his mafia goons.
Interesting.
It was a bad movie, and they manipulated the marketing well to, I guess, recoup their losses in a really insidious way.
Yeah.
And they were inspired by that one bit in Snow Dogs where the same thing happens to do
it. I've learnt a lot today.
Animal facts with Liam.
Yeah.
Chestnut, Hero of Central Park is a movie where... a Great Dane is adopted by two orphan girls. The new girl's parents don't know about the lovable mutt, however, and the film revolves around the inventive ways he is kept hidden from his new owners.
Okay. Are you literally...
Oh my gosh. I just clicked this Wikipedia. I just clicked that Wikipedia page then because I saw it in front of my eyes. Oh my gosh, this is a much grimmer plot synopsis. Two young former orphans do their best to keep their four-legged friend, a Great Dane named Chestnut, a secret from their adoptive parents and save him from a grim fate at the City Pound where he would certainly be euthanized.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, I'm going to close this Wikipedia page now. We have not talked about the A plot of this episode at all.
We have not. So.
They go to the track.
Yep. Shade befriends a lady who knows a lot about horses.
She knows everything about horses.
She knows everything.
She speaks about horses in a moderately erotic way.
I think everyone does, though.
Do they?
That's not what I meant. I mean, like, people who are into horses.
Horse people.
Horse people.
Well, you know what they say. When you ride a horse, you borrow wings from God.
Oh, God. Do they? I can't. Yeah. No, but, you know, like, I feel like horse people do definitely. Like, oh, look at the muscle tone on their legs. That's a that's a majestic-ass horse.
Yeah, I'd ride that horse any day.
Yeah.
It's got a really good win rate. It eats oats for hours.
It doesn't have that many sugar cubes, so it's not going to get diabetes.
It likes to wear a bridle.
It also likes to be blindfolded. Sexy.
Sexy horses. This is weird.
You mean that's not going to be a recurring segment? Sexy horses, where we just whisper horse things? That's our spin-off ASMR podcast.
Salt lick.
Yeah, so. Specifically.
It turns out this woman is Angie's mum, and she's like, "Mum, I hate you." And
that's like the C plot of the episode.
Basically, yeah. Do you want to resolve that one now?
She gives some valuable information to Matt Shade, who passes it on to Angie, and he pays her back in the form of saying that Angie will get coffee with her. But Angie leaves.
Well, Angie, at the end of the episode, we see her waiting for a long time at the coffee place, and her mum never shows up, so she pays and leaves.
Yeah.
They also speak to Keith, the stable guy.
They sure do.
Yes. Hang on, no. I've skipped ahead, because first they speak to the jockey, Carly King. She was the favourite to win on top of Diamond Heist.
Don't say on top of.
Standard position of riding a horse.
Oh, gosh.
On the night in question, she trained with Diamond Heist and then went to get drinks in the
jockey bar.
Track bar at 10 p.m. And left him with Keith to cool down.
Now, Keith is Irish.
That means you can't trust him.
I can't remember what information he gives them here.
I think he actually denies being at the stable.
Ah, okay.
He also says that horses are more noble than people.
Which is the thing horse people say.
And he tells them about Gold Coast, the rival horse owned by Ivan Zickel.
Oh, yeah. So then we meet Ivan Zickel, who's...
Oh, there's also a brief scene where they're examining the stables and they're like, no cameras, no security, what's going on here? And then there's some more stuff about the PI exam where Shade fails to bluff his way through knowing the principles of surveillance and things like that.
Nothing gets past Angie Everett because she's passed her PI exam.
Yeah, she's got a high perception stat.
Exactly. It's very effective.
So they go and speak to Ivan Zickel.
And he's a douche nozzle.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I made this app that predicts horse stats and Gold Coast had a 97% chance of winning. Also, I made this other app called Ping Squad that triangulates your position off different cell phone towers for the most efficient data usage. Now I am a gazillionaire with horses for days.
I don't know why that didn't tip me off that he would be somehow involved. Because why the fuck else would you introduce someone who's made an app that triangulates your whereabouts
position
at all times?
If you didn't want to track them. Well, it could have been a trip to Red Herring Central.
That's true. We could have been triangulating ourselves straight into the center of Red Herring Central. Red Herring Central, Central. That's
Central,
what it's
Central.
Called, right in the middle.
Oh, okay. The center point.
Yeah.
It's full of centipedes.
Oh, no thank you. Well, I guess maybe the red herrings eat them.
Don't know much about fish.
Me neither. I know they maybe eat worms.
On
centipedes
hooks.
Are kind of like worms.
Yeah, things we know about fish. They love worms, they love hooks.
They love hooks. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep getting themselves caught on them.
Man, look at that sexy hook bobbing near the surface. I gotta go put my mouth on that.
Maybe fish are just like
masochists.
Babies, and they just are like, oh, what's this? I'm just gonna go investigate.
I've been playing Yakuza 0 recently.
What's that?
That's a game where you are a yakuza.
What's that?
That's a Japanese gangster. And there's this sub-quest where it's called How to Train Your Dominatrix. And you meet this woman who is a dominatrix, but she's really bad at being a dominatrix. So you have to give her advice on how to do it better so that she can... Because she wants to turn her life around and be more honest with her emotions about people. So that inspires you to help her.
Amazing.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty good.
Did you
help? My description does not do it justice.
Did you help your dominatrix?
I did.
Good.
And then you end up hiding in, basically in a cupboard in the room while she's with a client because... of a hilarious misunderstanding, and you get to see how she did.
Did she do good?
Yeah, if you do it right.
Did you do it right?
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, she's basically just shouting at the guy. You don't see any weird sex stuff.
Well, I...
Because that would be weird.
That would be weird. Like, I assume that's why you're in a cupboard, so you don't have to see any sex stuff.
Anyway.
That's a weird... Yeah. Oh, yeah, so also...
There's this bookie snooping around, and he's hassling jockey Carly King.
Turns out she owes him some dollary dues.
$900 dues.
So she better win this race to pay him
back.
Turns
out she once bet on a horse, which I guess is a
no-no. Can't do that because Diamond Heist has been heisted. Hoist? What's the past tense? Heisted?
Yeah, probably.
That sounds... So does hoist, to be fair. Everything sounds silly.
Sure does. So this bookie is hassling Carly because she bet once, which is not, which is a no-no in the racing world. And now she owes him money forever, apparently. But if she wins this big race, she can use the prize money to pay him off. Matt Shade punches him
exactly.
in the face, and there's an altercation briefly.
A brief altercation, but not the worst.
Over the course of the next couple of scenes, they learn about and investigate a biker gang that hangs out at the trek, who have a horse skeleton for their insignia and are known as the Beasts of Burden.
Well, that seems very shady. Matt Shady.
Ooh, shadier than the Shade himself.
Oy.
So they go and investigate their biker base and get captured.
But it turns out that they're kind bikers.
They're an animal rescue society and bikers.
Yeah, they're bikers who liberate horses who are being mistreated.
And it turns out that the woman who owns the society, I guess, or at least the property, has a horse that their clients, the Cutlers, used to own that they were horribly mistreating.
Yes, so...
So she thinks they should check out their own clients to find the source of the missing horse.
Well, what an interesting pickle we have put ourselves in.
They go and check out the Cutler house. Angie does the classic gambit. Can I use your bathroom, please?
Don't ever let a detective use your bathroom.
Apparently don't ever let anyone use your bathroom.
Yeah.
She almost gets caught, but she doesn't. Matt spins a lot of bullshit about how solving mysteries is like hockey or something.
Yeah, it was some grade A bullshit.
No one is buying it.
Absolutely not.
And basically, what they find in these documents she photographs is that they pay vet bills for this horse every month. But over the past...
That's not weird.
Over the past month, they've been to the vet 4 times rather than just the once.
Oh God, is the horse sick?
Or injured? Could Sir Keith be covering that up, for example? Also...
Well, we better get the vet here under the false pretenses of a vomiting chihuahua.
Yeah. What? Diamond Heist is preg?
Whoa!
What could this mean?
Well, I think that it means two horses love each other very much.
Or were told to by their owners.
Well, yes.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked up.
They also scan through the security camera footage from the night in question and find Keith the trainer macking with Mrs. Cutler.
A scandalo.
What does that mean?
Well, I think it means that when two people love each other very...
When two people own a horse and love each other very much, they will have that horse have a child to represent their love.
But she didn't know about that, right?
No.
Okay.
She also didn't know about the previous mistreated horse because she sincerely loves horses and it's Mr. Cutler who's a dreadful capitalist.
Yes. So basically they confront her when now they've got this... footage of her kissing Keith.
Oh, I remember my old days kissing Keith down by the river. It sounds like an expression.
Yeah, it sounds like an expression for you kissing a man named Keith.
You don't think kissing Keith sounds like something?
We can make
it something.
Is that
anything?
What's it? What does it mean?
I guess it's just having an affair now. For it's our show's parlance for that.
Okay, perfect. I love it.
Lock it in.
Lock it in, Eddie.
Reggie.
Yeah, so she loves horses. She didn't know that Diamond Heist was pregnant.
And she also doesn't know where Diamond Heist has gone.
No.
But so turns
she
out...
she hasn't done it.
Keith... Oh, on the day of the big race... no, I'm getting myself all mixed up, turned around, inside out.
Me too.
Keith drops some casual comment about how Gold Coast only arrived last night or whatever, but they saw its trailer on the night that Diamond Heist was kidnapped. Philly napped. So what could that mean? Why, that would mean that Ivan Zickel, the rival horse owner and Silicon Valley giant, could be responsible.
He could be.
Better convince Matt Shade's dad, who works in the phone industry, to triangulate his previous positions with this Ping Squad app.
Yeah, so there is a brief chat about, like, illegal, immoral activity.
Well, legal activity versus moral activity. And he's like, ooh, you guys should join what's-her-name's debate club. Jules is her name, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So he tracks it, and they go to this sort of warehouse place, and they find the horse behind a hidden wall.
Yeah, and then there's some, like...
Zickel shows up and is like, hey, I'm going to call the police or set my bodyguards on you. Matt gets on the horse and rides away like a cool guy. Then he falls off like a lame-o. Then a biker runs up and kicks him in the chest really hard and steals the horse.
The whole thing's on footage, so they could be like, we found the horse, but then someone else stole the horse from us. What are the chances this would happen?
What a mixed up and crazy world horse racing is.
Anyway, you do still need to pay us the bonus for finding the horse, because you didn't specify we had to bring it back. All right, Thanks.
Anyway, let's go hang out with the Animal Rescue Society who took the horse, and the biker is like, sorry, Matt, I didn't kick you too hard, did I? And he was like, I played hockey for 100 years, and that never happened to me before.
That was verbatim exactly what happened.
Yep. Also, at some point, someone referred to the fact that if Diamond Heist and Gold Coast had a kid, it would be some sort of super horse.
Yeah, and then they would kill Diamond Heist.
Oh, yeah, to dispose of the evidence.
But then how are you meant to sell the horse? Because I thought horses were all about, like, pedigree.
Maybe he wanted to keep it and make it a really good racing horse for his own.
He doesn't seem like the type.
He owns Gold Coast.
Yeah, but he purchased Gold Coast. He's not going to, like, actually bother training up a super horse.
He could pay someone to do that. He's got that Silicon Valley Silicon dollars.
That's true.
It's a super horse, Regan. Fly.
That's also a very good point.
Heat beam vision. Frost breath. Power of the sun in the palm of its hoof.
Palm of its head. Yeah, okay, listen, you've got some good points there. So.
And then they're like, and also, Mr. Cutler, if we ever catch you anywhere near the horse racing industry again, then the other photos in the manila folder we gave you are going public. Photos of malnourished horses. End of A-plot, basically.
Yeah, that was like a weirdly vigilante sort of...
Well, it may not be a legal action per se, but surely it's a moral one.
Yeah, it just seemed like a weird move.
Yeah, it seems like something that I could see Shade doing, but I can't really necessarily see Angie being down with it.
Yeah, but, they bring out the best in each other, so...
Couldn't they just take those photos to some sort of SPCA?
Well, they did. It's called the Beasts of Burden.
And their logo is a horse skeleton.
That's to throw people off the scent.
Oh, what a cunning ruse.
I know. So, that's the end of Private Eyes.
Episode 3, For a Fistful of Horses. Regan.
Yeah.
You want to crack open our mystery envelopes?
Oh,
the segment
yes, I do,
in which
yeah.
we try to guess who was responsible for the crime in question before the show reveals it to us.
All right. Keith owes money, so he got the horse pregnant and is going to sell the foal for dollars.
Very good. Because we brushed over this in the episode, but it turned out that Ivan Zickel, the billionaire Silicon Valley villain, knew about Keith's affair with Mrs. Cutler and was blackmailing him to get Diamond Heist for that. Or to sell
yes.
Diamond Heist to him for that or something like that.
I'd forgotten about that.
So that's pretty right.
Yeah, I was surprised with myself.
Yeah, I wrote this at 29 minutes, 21 seconds, just before...
I think that is exactly when I wrote mine.
Just before they confronted Mrs. Cutler about the affair and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Keith or Bridget, Mrs. Cutler, want to sell Diamond Heist plus the fold to Ivan.
Hey, look at us.
Yeah. We know all about horse thieves. Rustlers.
Yeah, so don't steal a horse because we'll get onto you.
Yeah.
We'll get you.
And it will be weird and erotic. Mystery Twins After Dark. It's all the horse-related cases.
Yeah. What do you think about continuing with Private Eyes? Ch-ch.
Well, what do I think? I don't know. Fun fact, this show has been renewed for a second season.
Yes. Good to know.
Starting soon, I assume.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to do another one or move on to something else, really.
Oh, well, that's not helpful.
I have no strong opinions, do you?
I don't have strong opinions either.
Then let's do another one.
Let's just
keep on
get back on the horse.
Hey.
Yay.
Well.
Do you have any mysteries that need solving this week?
Which most valuable primate movie is which?
All right.
No, I don't. We're not doing that.
Okay.
I do not have a mystery. Do you have a mystery?
No.
Do you have a mystery of history? Who killed Abraham Lincoln? It was I, John Wilkes Booth.
Yay.
You learned that.
We solved it.
From high school and possibly Assassins.
Yeah, I know it from Assassins.
I was about to say from Assassins, but I was like, but then I realised halfway through that insinuating you only knew that from a music would be very insulting.
Well, it's true. Okay. So,
well, at least I wasn't the one who ended up saying it.
Yeah. All right. Well, good.
Good.
Thank you for sticking with us.
Case closed.
A meandering wander through the horse park.
Oh, horses. So powerful.
Our theme music.
Such rippling abs.
Is in the crowd. Locks. By the years.
It's beautiful, beautiful singing voices.
if you would like to lodge a formal complaint about Liam's sexy horse outro, you can tweet us at mtdapod or you can email us at mtdapod@gmail.com.
They may wear metal U's on their feet because they're really just into like body mod and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they get stuff hammered into their feet because
they're hardcore.
Yep.
Actually, I think they probably don't feel it that much. Otherwise, it would just be unconscionably cruel.
No, I'm pretty sure they do feel pain.
Really?
And that's why, yeah.
I mean, I know horses feel pain.
Yeah, I was actually like, I'm actually 100% sure horses feel pain, but I'm pretty sure it's not pleasant for them to get them put on their hooves.
There must be some long-term benefits then.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would you still do it?
That's a good question. Also, why are they lucky? Surely it's unlucky if your horse loses a hoof.
Well, I think it's probably because they're made of iron.
A shoe.
And iron.
Not a hoof.
Iron.
It's also very unlucky if your horse just loses an entire hoof.
You could use iron to ward off fairies who were dangerous mythological creatures.
Oh. Well, cracked that one.
Just
good.
I'm just spitballing here.
Well, I believe it. I'm going to start the rumor.
Activate rumor mill.
All right. We need to go. but until next week, friends.
Hold that thought.
No yachts.
Hold that thought. I wanted to see if I could get every item on the code. Seek respect, not attention. No yachts. There are no shortcuts. That's all I got.
There's only three things on the code?
There must be more.
There were 10, I'm pretty sure.
Family comes first.
Yes.
I'm Matt Shade.
I don't think that's on the code because his dad wrote the code.
No, his dad had him write it.
Yeah, but surely it was dictated to him.
No, I don't think so. Surely not.
You can't let a teenager come up with a code of conduct.
The code that your grandfather had me write when I was 14.
Oh, there you go.
No yachts.
Hustle always wins.